Welcome back to the program. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. We're heading back to your calls very shortly on 1300 736 736. So don't be afraid to jump on the line. But we'll have a chat to Fremantle's General Manager of Football, Peter Bell, a superstar player in his day. And he's been great for the Fremantle Football Club. And he jumps on the line for Illusion Gas Log Fires, clearing all current stock right now, illusionfires.com. And I bet he's pretty happy to be back home with a good win. Welcome to you, Peter. Great to have you back on the program again.
Yeah, no worries, Dwayne. It is great that our hub staff and players have been able to return to WA late Saturday night. We actually got home by about 10:30 Western Australian time. So fortunately, we're able to quarantine at home. There's some conditions around that, but to be able to see family over Sunday and over the next couple of weeks has been great. So I'm happy to do it, obviously, off the back of a win.
So what was the better sound, the final siren or the high dad?
They were equal, I suppose, Dwayne. It was an extraordinary game. Clearly, we didn't get it done in the first quarter and St Kilda were red hot. So we reassessed a few things at quarter time. And look, Justin's already said that, and it was clear to everyone, we weren't getting it done in the contest at quarter time. So until we got that right, it didn't matter what the rest of our structures were like. Once we're able to even it up a little bit as far as the contest was concerned, we're able to implement, you know, the way we wanted to move the ball and also the way we want to defend St Kilda's ball movement, barring the last sort of 4 or 5 minutes. I thought we were able to do that for large portions of the game, but it got a bit hairy at the end, obviously.
What were you looking for in a coach when you appointed a coach, Peter? There's been a lot of talk about coaching and the look of the game, and it's the entertainment business, but it's also the wins and loss business. What were you looking for in a coach? Were you looking for method? Were you looking for style? Were you looking for an opportunity for a style of game that would sell?
Yeah, we're looking for all of those things, Dwayne, and also we're looking the club for someone that we thought would connect really well with our young playing list. That's not to say that obviously Ross wasn't connecting, but once the decision was made that we were looking for a new coach, we wanted someone who we thought could bring on the young playing list that we have. And I think so far Justin's demonstrated that his aptitude for that, which is obviously one of the reasons why he was identified. Having said that, there are a lot of people that we spoke to that is a real forte of their coaching. But that was a big part of it. Clearly, we've got a lot of work to do as well with the way that we want to move the footy. It's been a frustration for no doubt all of our Fremantle fans out there that we haven't been able to put together a four-quarter game this year. Hopefully it's this week and hopefully we can string a few together. But I think everyone will like in pieces what we've been able to do at certain stages, but it's up to us to get a bit more consistency.
Because it is linked, isn't it? The style or the football club itself is looked on as a club that is reflected in its style that the coach coaches. So when you think of, say, Port Adelaide, for example, you think of Ken Hinckley and the style he coaches as being the image you think of as Port Adelaide. Same with Alistair Clarkson and Hawthorne. Right now, it's the same with John Longmire and the Sydney Swans. It's all tied in to the way that people view the club. So you do need someone who is trying to get an inspiring brand for the Fremantle Football Club, especially with a club that I know you've been around for a long time, but you're still relatively young, establishing a brand.
Yeah, no, it is important, and teams do reflect the leadership, that's for sure. And hopefully people can see that with Justin, just, you know, how connected he is with the players and the staff, how engaged they are in response to what Justin wants. And look, he's got a really calm demeanour, which has been tested at times. AFL coaches will test you in that regard. And he's big on the mental side of the game. So we're really pleased with the growth that we're seeing in all of our people following Justin's lead.
So have you ever decided to put every player back in defence and just hold his defence back and have this jam of 18 men inside defensive 50? How would you view that if your coach decided to do that?
Look, different coaches have their different philosophies and ways of doing things and the best way that you can get a win on a particular day. Sometimes, I guess, when you're really undermanned, you might look at doing things a little differently. But from what I understand of Justin so far is that, he's got a very firm views on how he would like our team to play. And a part of that is good representation in front of the football, backing in defenders to win one-on-one contests with the help of the rest of the team further up the field. So balance is something that he's looking for. Sometimes circumstances might lead you to doing different things, but I think he's got a really balanced view of how he wants the team to play, and we have to put in the hard yards to get in real synchronicity, I suppose, and perfect that as best we possibly can. And we've seen signs of that, but the encouraging thing is there's a lot of growth there as well.
Turner Fremantle, General Manager of Football, Peter Bell. So the last comment on this, last question on this. So do you talk about style at all when it comes to the way the coach is coaching, or do you leave that all to him?
Leave it pretty much to the coaches. That's what they're paid for, and that's what they have to deliver. And that's Justin's job to deliver that through the rest of the coaches as well. But it's part of Justin's philosophy that, as I said before, there's a balance to what we do. You know, the way you move the ball also allows you to set up and defend behind it. But part of that is strong representation forward of the footy. And we've shown at times that we can score quickly, we can score heavily. And at other times, we've shown that, unfortunately, we haven't been able to defend as well as we'd like. So by no means is it perfect yet, but in the circumstances, for a first-year coach, with all of the disruption and not having a game on home soil yet, I think Justin's done a really credible job so far.
So you're home, you're quarantining. Are you allowed to hug your kids, or if your kids are going out, are you not allowed to hug them? What's the restrictions in your quarantining period?
Yeah, very strict rules, and we're very fortunate to be able to quarantine at home. That's something that not all West Australians are able to do, but with that come the conditions that you have to have a separate bedroom, you have to have separate shower and bathroom to the rest of the non-quarantining members of your household, and at all times you have to maintain 1.5 metres from the other people in your household. So whether that's your partner or your children can be difficult, but they're the rules, and obviously that's what we'll be abiding by.
So the players obviously have had to have that reinforced because they've obviously got wives and partners who are going to go out and do the shopping.
That's right. The partners are able to get on and lead their lives, which is terrific. I think if some had the option, if it was home quarantine and they also had to home quarantine, then some would be willing to do that. Others, due to work and other situations, wouldn't have been able to. So that's the reason for the social distancing within the household. But that's the understanding. It's been reinforced with the players, obviously both at West Coast and Fremantle, and we're very thankful that the WA Police have allowed us these exemptions from quarantine.
So Hub Life, what was it like? What were the pros? What were the good parts? What were the bad parts?
The good parts were the ability to spend a lot of time together, to get to know the staff and players, and for them to get to know each other on a deeper level. That was terrific. The experience of being away as a team also allows you more access to the players. So overwhelmingly, Dwayne, we found it to be a really positive experience. Now, you can't speak for every single person, and there would have been times that were tough for everybody, you know, missing family, you know, parents missing their children's birthdays, partners' birthdays, just those types of things can get you down at certain times. But overwhelmingly, our club enjoyed the experience, and the feedback has been exactly that they really enjoyed it. They got to spend some time with the players and each other that you normally wouldn't get, and we're hopeful that the experience, and there could be another one later in the year, who knows, is something that'll be really positive for our young playing group.
You're expecting to stay home for 6 odd weeks now. What are you expecting from the draw that might be released later today at the earliest?
Yeah, haven't got a time frame on that, although the AFL have indicated that we'll be home for a stretch. Now, how long that is, we're not exactly sure, and how compressed the games will be, not sure also. We're looking for some clarity, as everyone is, maybe later today or whenever it might be. It's an enormous challenge for the AFL to get teams into Western Australia, to have them quarantined satisfactorily, and also to schedule games. So we're cognizant of that. We'll just deal with whatever is presented to us. It'd be great if we could be home for a period of time and get our fans along to the games as well. Obviously, 30,000 on Sunday is the limit for the Derby, and I'm sure Geelong and Collingwood would get a pretty big crowd as well this Thursday night. So that'll be a little surreal seeing those two duke it out Optus Stadium. But yeah, look, as to how long we're here in Western Australia, not sure, but you'd think, given that we haven't played a game in Western Australia yet, we'd be here for a little while. But if we have to move again, so be it. It's that type of season.
So you're expecting 30,000 that's allowed this weekend. How do you get in if you're a ticket holder, or are they sold out already?
Yeah, well, actually, they went on sale early last week, and then the government had a change of mind, obviously, given the second wave, if you want to call it that, in the East Coast. And so what was going to be a 60,000 crowd is now down to 30. So my understanding is that all of those tickets sold, my understanding is that they're sort of null and void and will be refunded, and there'll be a new ticket sale that begins on Wednesday for the various different sections of our membership. So that'll happen sort of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week, and then if there are any left over, then they'll go on general sale.
How's Sean Darcy, and what's the process for the tribunal appearance? Does your doctor provide a report yesterday, today, tonight? When does the doctor provide a report? Because an update is going to be pretty handy in their assessment of it, you would think.
Yeah, the doctor obviously will provide a report. I think the finishing touches will go on that today, if they haven't already gone in already. Look, Sean was clearly ruled out during the game. Afterwards, he was, you know, to talk to and whatever else, he was okay, and he was improved again yesterday. He did report that he was feeling pretty good. So we'll obviously run the full array of tests and everything else. No club takes any risks when it comes to concussion. It's pretty black and white, all the different tests that you do take. So we'll run that full suite during the week, and we'll see if he's available for the derby, next Sunday.
So if you file the doctor's report and then an hour later, Sean said, gee, I'm not actually feeling that great, would you add that to the report with a phone call, or do you leave the report the report?
You'd leave the report, unless, you know, the AFL contacted you, I suppose.
Yep.
Haven't actually been in that situation myself, Dwayne. So, look, once the report's filed, until such time as you're contacted by the AFL, I would assume that the report's the report. So, look, we haven't seen the players at this stage since we've arrived back in WA. They had the day off yesterday, and they've got a bit of time off this morning while we get reorganised back into our facility. So we'll look forward to checking in on all the players this afternoon, including Sean.
Did you hear Kane Corns as cook of Nat Fyfe for surfing at all?
I heard a little bit about it. He certainly had Nat in the sights the last couple of weeks, Kane. And look, from our perspective, Nat's a professional. He'd been cleared for full training during the week, so he knows his body well. So we don't have a problem with him surfing if he thinks that he's right to go. And given that he was completing training at 100% capacity, it's not a big issue from our point of view.
How did he pull up then? Did his hamstring get tight during the game?
Yeah, look, obviously people were interested to see him forward, but he's a very good forward. And when we lost Sean and had to bring Rory up into the ruck, we were one key forward down. And you know, we've spoken in this interview, Dwayne, about the importance of our structure, yeah, in front of the footy. And we know with Nat that he doesn't get beaten one-on-one that often. And that was important for us because, you know, St Kilda are such a... They move the ball so quickly. We wanted to make sure that we didn't get them any opportunity to sort of... as little opportunity as possible to intercept and get their fast ball movement going in from our front half. So that was important for that. He held structure really well. He had a good half, obviously, in the midfield. But it is something that we have done all year, is play him forward a little bit more than what we have done historically, and it's something that we'll continue to do.
So scores are level. You need a goal. It's been talked about with Patrick Cripps and Dustin Martin and Marcus Spondampelli and Nat Fyfe. Scores are level. You need a goal. Do you have your best player forward to kick you one, or do you have your best player in the middle to clear it so you get a chance to kick one?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm glad that I don't have to make that call. Leave it up to the coaches. And I guess it depends on a lot of things, doesn't it? It depends on how dominant you've been, or in the centre bounce, what the matchup is forward that your star player might have, and whether you think that your player might be able to have a marking advantage or whatever the case may be. So I'll sit on the fence on this one and just say that it just depends on the circumstances of the game. But they're the difficult calls, clearly, that coaches have to make.
So it wasn't anything to do with his hamstring that he was forward. It was just the game tactic.
Yeah, but it was a game tactic. But, you know, in the back of our minds also, you know, we wanted to make sure that, you know, Matt was able to get through as well. You know, he'd been 100% through training. He'd been cleared through all the different medical measures during the week as well. So, and it was working for us as well. Look, he wasn't winning a lot of ball, but he wasn't being marked against also, and he was providing a real focal point in the contest for us that we're able to get in and crumb from. And like I said before, he just doesn't get outmarked that often, which was important to us as well.
And one last one, hypothetical. There's been a lot of talk about where the grand final should be if it's not at the MCG. Would it give a state an advantage if they had two teams making the eight as opposed to a state that only had one?
look, we'd be wrapped if we're able to make the eight, Dwayne. I think Optus Stadium's a new stadium. It's a wonderful fan experience, and I think you know, a big occasion match it'd be ideally suited for. And hopefully here in Western Australia, things continue on the current trajectory as far as the small amount of or lack of community infection there is. So you would think if things continue as they are in WA that Western Australia would be in the frame. And I think Optus Stadium would be a great place to have a grand final. But I'll leave that to the AFL. I'm sure they'll come up with the right decision.
But feel free to give me a reason why it's better than the Adelaide Oval. Is it? Can you just put a little quote for me in the paper on that one? Why is it better?
I personally love the Adelaide Oval as well. I think it'd be a good space for a grand final. I just think being a newer stadium and a bigger capacity, that'd be the big push, I suppose, for Optus Stadium right now. But as we've seen, Dwayne, things change quickly, and hopefully we can get on top of things on the east coast of Australia.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed, absolutely here. Great to have you, Peter. Always good to be able to pick your brain, and thanks for that last quote. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
No worries. Take it easy. Thanks, mate.
Peter Bell, Fremantle General Manager of Football, joining us for Illusion Gas Log Fires, clearing all current stock right now. IllusionFires.com. Straight back to your calls after the break. 1300 736 736. That's the open line for Werribee Kia. Back to your calls.